Father, we thank you for your steadfast love. Father, we thank you that you loved us so much that in spite of our failures, you're there to pick us up. You're there to bring us to a place where your grace abounds. Father, we thank you once again, Lord, for this time to get together to worship you. Father, we thank you once again for this time, Lord, to honor and lift your name up. We ask, Father, that you would be with us for the remainder of this service. Father, that you prepare our ears and our hearts to receive your word. And Father, that it would germinate, it would affect us to the point of change. And Father, that we become the light that you have created us to be. That we will let your light shine through us to the world. Father, once again, let your will be done in this place. In the name of Jesus, we pray this. Amen and amen. You may be seated this morning. When Terry approached me a couple weeks ago, she asked if she could share a testimony. And so I figured that would be a perfect opportunity for us to look at some of the passages that Paul had spoke on. And so when she shared his testimony, I had heard his testimony previously, and it affected me. Because at times we tend to think that our words are going out and it is not making an impact. Amen? I mean, how many of you have lost loved ones? And sometimes we wonder if what we say is falling on deaf ears, you know? And here's the thing. I've learned that at times, no matter what you say, according to the Word of God, when you say it, God has a way of taking those words and it slowly kind of pricks the heart of that individual. And there's been times in the past in which someone has spoken to me and those words stayed with me. And it was a reminder of God's love. You know, and it's like, wow, how effective the Word of God is. You know, we think that we have to be an elegant a preacher and use these huge long words when all we have to do is tell the story, the simple story of God's love. Amen. And how it's affected you. That's all it is. So this morning I just want to share a passage with you found in 1 Thessalonians in chapter 2. Now to understand this passage, you have to understand the background of what is going on. Thessalonica, excuse me, this city was one of the largest cities in the area, a wealthy city, a city that was known for its trade, but it was also a city that had a lot of pagan culture in the midst of it. And so, in this culture, to attack anything related to a pagan god or to the culture itself, or to attack a cult itself, was to attack the city itself. And so when Paul came along to preach the gospel, he was a marked man. Because he was coming against their culture, he was coming against the city, he was coming against their ideology. Sounds familiar, doesn't it? Because At times we should be, or we feel like we're in the same position. Because we're in this society, and this society has deemed certain things precious. This society has deemed certain things where you cannot touch. Otherwise, it's an offense. And they will respond accordingly. And we see that, especially now, as the culture rises up against the church itself because of what they stand for. Because the standards are no longer the same as in the past. The standards have, the lines have been kind of blurred. You know, when we talk about black and white according to the Word of God, the lines are blurred when it comes to the standards of the world. Amen?
Amen.
You see, because it doesn't mean that way. You can still do, or you can be, or you can go, or you can... It's blurred. But in the Word of God, what's black and white, it's the Word of God. And that's what Paul stood for. And when he preached the gospel, he preached what was black and white according to the Word of God. And he preached what is holy, what is true, what is righteousness. But yet, he found opposition everywhere he turned. Opposition can be a good thing and can be a bad thing. Because, you know, at times people will say, well, opposition means that you're doing something right. Not necessarily. Okay, and don't use that as a gauge. What you use as a gauge is when you face opposition and you're following the Word of God, then you're doing something right. Because if you say you meet opposition, an atheist can meet opposition. A person on the street can meet opposition. It's opposition when you're speaking the truth of the Word of God. Is that all right this morning?
Amen.
And so this morning, as I was looking over this chapter, let's read together. It says in chapter 2 of 1 Thessalonians, "For you yourself know, brothers, that our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we have previously suffered and been outrageously treated in Philippi, as you know, we were embodied by our God to speak the gospel to you in spite of great opposition." Now, let me read in the New Testament, in the King James, bear with me for a second. We'll leave that one alone there. All right. So as we look here, we see that there were a couple things that we're going to learn in this chapter. We're going to learn a couple things from Paul. One, his manner, the pressures that he faced, the pains that he faced. Two, his motives. The motives and methods, not for personal gain or not for recognition. And three, the message that he shared as well. And so here, he goes on, he says, "Our visit with you was not without result. On the contrary, after we had previously suffered." Now, sharing the gospel is not always an easy thing. Sharing the gospel, you're going to face opposition. You're going to face conflict. You're going to face people that don't want to hear the Word of God. That will say, "Hey, you need to stop praying for me." Amen?
Amen.
You need to stop praying for me because I don't want your prayers. I had heard a testimony of someone else saying something similar. You need to stop praying for me because every time you pray, something happens and you need to stop. Well, listen. Listen to what you're saying. You're saying that you know that there's a God that is after you. So you need to wise up and listen to him. You know? But they didn't want to be in that position where God was trying to step on their toes, where God was trying to stir up their hearts, where God was trying to challenge them right where they're at. I love that. I love that because it makes it more real. That we know that God is there moving, God is there pricking those hearts. And so when we face that kind of opposition, we need to recognize, okay, God, I know you're doing something. Because the devil inside them is getting uncomfortable. You see? Because they can't sit still. You know, we don't want to hear none of that. You know, because we know it's true. And if we know it's true and we accept the truth, then we have to change. You see? And that's the bottom line. So opposition had come about against Paul because he was preaching a doctrine that was contrary to the world at that time. A doctrine that came against all of their standards of pleasure, all of their standards of self. No, that's what we're facing today. It's all about self. It's all about what I want to do. It's all about what makes me feel good. Right? It's all about, you know, I want to do this because this is who I am. God didn't create me this way, but this is who I am. Right? And so here Paul was dealing with something similar as well. And he was challenging that thinking. And every time there was a door or opportunity that opened up, he was going to speak the truth that was there. And so this is what I want to share. Sometimes, and Lord willing, I'm going to share more next week. Sometimes we need to trespass on the devil's land.
Amen.
You see, because we need to get to a place where people know that God has created this world, not man. Where God had ordained things and not man. Where God has said, this is mine and not man's. And that thinking comes from the enemy himself. That thinking comes from the enemy speaking lies into the lives of people saying, you are who you say you are. You create your own outcome. You create your own destiny. You create, listen closely, because it sounds good. But according to God's word, he says he has placed a purpose in your life. So that means your destiny is tied to what God has created for you. Yes, you can set in motion things in your life, but ultimately the destiny is what God has prepared. You see? And the minute we say, well, I create my own destiny, you leave God out. God needs to be included. Did I lose anybody?
No.
Because I'm going back to what I was listening to about a week ago, this lady, and it really bothered me where she said, you create your own destiny, and she left God out of the picture. I'm like, you're supposed to be a Christian. You're supposed to, it's all about what God has ordained.
Amen.
Since the beginning of time. Okay? We can do our own thing, yeah. You go ahead and create your own destiny without God and see where you end up. Amen?
Amen.
And so here Paul is writing to this church. And he's showing them exactly what it means to stand for a cause. You see, because we as believers, we are lives touching lives. That's what makes a body.
lives touching lives. Whether it's out there or in here. That's what the body is all about. Okay? And so we're constantly ministering to others. We're constantly edifying and uplifting. You know, and that's the authentic testimony that Paul was sharing, you know, even in his tough times. He says, the opposition that I'm facing doesn't change me. It might affect my ministry at that time, but it should make me stronger and more apt to move forward in the Lord, knowing that God has a plan and purpose. Amen. And so Paul is trying to disciple these people. And every time I preach, that's exactly what's supposed to be happening. Encouraging the discipling. And then, of course, classes will break it down even more. But this morning, I want you to get an understanding of what Paul is trying to bring to focus with this church. You know, as they are being entrusted with the gospel. See, Paul was being entrusted with the gospel. He says here, let's go on. Verse 3, for our exhortation didn't come from error. Now, let me stop there for a second. You know, the opposition that Paul encountered was one of in the church and outside of the church. We never have trouble in the church. It's sad to say, but in every church, there's always opposition. Mm-hmm. The devil is real inside the church as well as outside the church. You know how to fight that? It's when we walk in the spirit that the devil cannot move within our realm. Mm-hmm. You see? But we have to be walking in the spirit. We have to recognize when the enemy is within or moving in our midst. And because many a times the enemy will use us to affect others, to discourage others, to tear down others. We are a body. Amen? Amen. My thumb doesn't tear down my toe, okay? But every time my toe gets hurt, it wraps it around. And that's how we ought to respond as a body. And so here, when Paul was speaking, he says, you know, I when I preach, it's not because it's a deception. It's not deception. This is truth. And I'm not coming to you to deceive you and so that you will like me. Okay? And he says, basically, he was saying, you know what? When I'm preaching the gospel, I'm not preaching so that I can please you. I'm preaching so that I can please him. You see, at times, if you listen closely to a lot of sermons that are out there, and I'm not saying that all the sermons out there are bad and I'm the only one that's good, and hear me out. What I'm saying is we need to be very careful because there are people that are preaching and there's a little motive behind the preaching. If their preaching is one of to glorify themselves and not God, then what is wrong? What is going on? And Paul is saying, listen, I'm not preaching to deceive you. I'm preaching to tell you the truth. I'm not preaching to please you. I'm preaching so that you know the truth and that it affects you. You know, in today's society, I've seen where there are people that are men pleasers or people pleasers more than God pleasers. I was listening to interview, and there's probably going to be some people that come against me for this, but that's okay. And in this interview, this man was saying, you know, well, I want to reach people this way. I really don't want to speak concerning sin and everything like that. And this man is a man of God. His name was Joel Osteen. Okay, good. We're on the same page. And so so as I'm listening to this interview, you know, he's saying, I want to avoid speaking concerning this type of sin, concerning, I just want to preach on making them feel worthy, making them feel good. There's a balanced diet here in the Word of God. And you need to know about sin. You need to know that it can easily creep into the body of believers.
Yes.
Amen. You know, and as a side note, because I kind of come across this. I was reading a book and I wrote this down because I love this testimony of this pastor. He got together with some other pastors, you know, and they always communicate with each other. They always pray for each other. And he had asked this pastor, what is your secret? You know, because this pastor had a large congregation, and the pastor, he says, well, let me tell you my secret. He said, my secret is I write down this word, capital A, capital C, capital T, and capital S, Acts. Okay? And he says, and when I write it down, then I focus on each letter at a time. And the A, he says, it is for adoration. And I start to write down everything concerning God. You know, everything that I love about God, everything that He has done, everything that He has blessed, everything that is about Him. You know, our Father who art in heaven, holy is Thy name. And he writes that down, and it brings to light in Psalms 103 where it says, forget not His benefits. Okay? And so he says, I write that down and I meditate on that. And then C, he says, is confession. He says, then I start to think about everything that I've done in this past week, even yesterday. He says, even the last sermon that I preached, he says, I write down all those things, even those little exaggerations. He says, I write them down. I might have said a story, and instead of saying that it was a six car pile up, I said it was a 20 car pile up. He says, I write that down, and I don't write exaggeration. He says, I write in the little line that I said, da da da. And he says, and I start praying over that. And then after he's done, he says, I get to T, which is Thanksgiving. And he says, then I start crossing off all those sins. And I thank God, and I start crossing them off and write forgiven on them. And I start thanking, giving thanks to God for His forgiveness, giving thanks to God for everything that He's done. It's an attitude of thanksgiving. And then S is supplication. He says, then I pray to ask God for strength, not to be like that anymore. He says, it's a place where you get, where you allow God to work in your lives every day. I love that. It's something simple. But it's because this pastor knew that it's so easy to allow the enemy to creep in and put a seed of deception, put a seed of anger, put a seed of pride, put a seed of whatever it may be within your heart, and it affects your ministry, it affects your relationships, it affects your relationship. You see? And he said, so I do this because I want this to be okay so that I can be effective here.
Amen.
And so it's something that we need to keep in mind when we are walking in this world. In reality, we're trespassing on the devil's land. And the devil is constantly in our ears. And if we're not careful, we succumb to his authority rather than the authority of God. You see? And so Paul is reminding them that there's going to be a conflict. There's always going to be a conflict
But it's up to you how you're going to respond to that conflict. It's up to you how you're going to respond to that opposition when you stand for what you believe is true. But when you stand in love. Okay? Just keep that in mind. You stand in love. And so, he continues on. And he says, instead, just as we have been approved by God to be entrusted with the gospel, so we speak, not to please men, but rather God, who examines our hearts. We never use flattery speech, as you know, or had greedy motives. God is our witness. And we didn't seek glory from people, either from you or from others. Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead, we were gentle among you as nursing mothers, nurturing their own children. And so here we see, one, we've seen his manner against the pressure of, or against the opposition that comes at us. And against the pain that he had to endure, because there was a lot of things that he had to endure for the cost of following Christ. We've seen that in other scriptures in which he suffered bruises, he suffered beatings, he suffered in prison. Would you still follow Christ if you were thrown in prison? Would you still follow Christ if they were to shut the doors? No, that doesn't happen nowadays. And guess what? Over in Canada, that's happening. They're shutting doors. Because they're coming together to worship. And it's against the mandate. And they're shutting doors now. But yet they allow other events to happen. But they're coming against churches. It blows my mind. Ooh. We never seen this one coming, but yet the Word of God said that it was coming. And we don't see it here yet, but what if? And then what? What will you do? But these are oppositions, and opposition is, yes, it's by man's hand, but we need to recognize what's behind it. Opposition to truth. It's coming from the enemy itself. Because the enemy is very sly and he likes to slip in order to deceive whomever he can, even the elect. Interesting. And so we need to be wise, according to the scripture. Wise as serpents, yet harmless as doves. You staying with me? Amen. And so here he says, we don't use flattery speech. Or we don't have a motive behind it. You see, when we're sharing the gospel, and when I'm sharing the gospel, I'm not sharing it because I want you to like me. Yes, I do. But that's not the reason why I'm sharing the gospel. I'm sharing the gospel because of what God has done in my life. And I want you to experience the same thing in your life. And when you experience that in your life, then you should want others to experience the same thing. Amen. You see how it works? I'm being discipled as well as you are being discipled, as well as you should be discipling others. You see how that works? It's a continuous thing. And so here Paul has said, I didn't come to you to flatter you. Unlike those that want to flatter you, those that want to bring you in and to deceive you. He says, no, that's not what this is all about. This is about a man called Jesus that died on the cross. This is about a God that sent his only son so that you, in turn, can receive eternal life. He says, there's no greedy motive behind this. This is authentic. And so he goes on. He says, And we see the description of his ministry when you're looking at this chapter. The first part of it, you see his faithfulness, his dedication to the body, his desire for them to grow in a stronger manner in spite of opposition. He says, "I want you to move forward." That's Paul's faithfulness to Christ, because God has dealt with him, and he wants the same thing for the church. And so he says, "Your faithfulness to grow is my goal." So we see his faithfulness, but we also see that his love to the body. And his love to the body is almost like a twofold thing, because he says, "I love you like a parent loves you." Let me prove it. He goes on in verse 7, "Although we could have been a burden as Christ's apostles, instead we were gentle among you as a nursing mother nurtures her own children. We care so much for you that we were pleased to share with you not only the gospel of God, but also our own lives, because you have become dear to us." He says, for the first part, he says, "We love you like a nurturing mother." That you're going to offer the care that is needed. You're going to offer the warmth that is needed. You're going to offer the comfort that is needed to one another. That's what Paul was doing. He says, "I love you to that point where you're like my own child. And I'm the mother." And I never understood that growing up. Never understood that growing up in church until I got in the position of pastoring that I understood that. Because something changed. Because it's knowing that God has given you a responsibility to share the gospel, that your desire is to see what's best for your children. Hear me out. And so, if I know that my child is going to do something that is going to affect them, I'm going to offer some advice. I'm going to try to lead them. If I know that they're about to go down a path, I'm going to step in. If I know that they're hurting, I'm going to reach out to them. And Paul said, "You're like my child. I want to nurture you. I want to care for you as a mother cares for his own." That's interesting. It's a different level. So can you say that about your brother and sister? And don't answer me, but I want you to think about this. Because it's a challenge. Because I know when I was in your position, how I thought. Now it's different. You see, because at times we love our brothers and sisters. But can we come alongside and nurture them and care for them when they're hurting? You see what I'm getting at? It's a different level. A different level of being a body of believers. Are you still with me today?
Yeah.
Okay. Got really quiet.
Thank
you. Yeah.
That's good. And so it's imperative for us to understand why Paul responded this way to the church. Because this was something that was so important that it affects the core of the body. Because if they couldn't grasp what it meant to love one another, if they couldn't grasp what it meant to minister to one another, then that body falls apart. And Paul couldn't be there all the time. But yet he had a love for that church so much that He would write letters, hey, share this with them, because this is of great importance. The motive of Paul wasn't, once again, to look good. It was for them to understand what it means to follow God with a passion, with a purpose, all the way. You see? And he says, you are going to encounter opposition, but it doesn't matter. And so, continuing on, he says, not only sharing the gospel, but also our own lives, because you become dear to us. And I know I shared this, but this is the only way that I can relate. And you'll probably hear it one more time, but I didn't realize how close I was to Dave Rose. And so my life with him was entwined to the point where I truly cared about him, you know, and he was no longer a brother in the Lord, but he was family. Okay? And reading this, and Paul says, I care so much for the church that I wanted to share the gospel and I wanted to share our lives with you. I want to be so entwined with you that you understand why I think this way, why I respond this way, why I love the church this way, why I desire for them to grow, why I desire for them to explode in the knowledge of Christ. Interesting. You see? Entwined. And so, are you entwined in my life? Don't answer. Most of you see me Sunday. That's it. Now I got quiet. I'm making a point here. Now, I don't want you to bombard my doors with, you know, okay, now we're here. But the point of the matter is, oh, I wouldn't mind. The point of the matter is, unless it's after midnight, is that we ought to be like this throughout the week. Because that's what we're created for, to encourage one another, to uplift one another. You see, that's the beauty of being the body of believers. You know? And so here Paul is describing this, and it just kind of opened up for me today. And so he goes on. He says, verse 8 or 9. So for you, remember our labor and our hardships, brother. Okay, they're so close with them that they understood why he did what he did. They understood his struggles. They understood why he went through the things that he went through. He says, for you remember our labor and our hardships, brother, working night and day so that we would not be a burden any of you. So we would not burden any of you. We preach God's gospel to you. You are witnesses, and so is God, of how devoted, righteously, and blamelessly we conduct ourselves with you, believers. In verse 11, as you know, like a father with his own children, we encourage, comfort, and implore each one of you to walk worthy of God, who calls you into his own kingdom and glory. Not only did he say, oh, I love you like a woman would love her own child, but he says, but I also love you like a father that would care for the child. That would go above and beyond a little bit. He's not your normal preacher. But he embodies what is called Christ's love. Are you hearing me? And he walked in it. And he lived it. And he was an example of it. You see, because knowing full well that the enemy would try to deceive the elect at that time. And he says, listen, and in one other letter he says, watch me. Imitate me as I imitate Christ. Why did he say that? He says, because I know my motive. My motive is so that you understand who Christ is in you. You understand the goodness and grace of Christ, how it works in our lives and how it manifests in our lives and how it affects others. So you go ahead and watch me as I follow him so that you can do the same thing that I'm doing. I'll be afraid for somebody to watch me. I'll be afraid I'll mess up. But that's a good thing, because then that'll keep me accountable. You know? Because I should have to be like, anybody watching me? Okay, I'm going to do this. Anybody? Then something's wrong. But Paul was in a place where he's like, you know what? Go ahead and watch me. Go ahead and watch me, because I know who I am in Christ. Go ahead and watch me. You know? And I said that as a joke, but go ahead and watch me. Go ahead. Keep me accountable. Because that's who we are as a body of believers. Amen?
Amen.
Because I'm not saying I'm up here. I'm saying that when we walk together, we can hold each other up. So go ahead and watch me. Keep me accountable. Because I'll do the same thing to you.
Okay.
And so as I'm reading this, you know, we see how Paul is so authentic in trying to make sure that the church knows what it is and what it means to love. Okay? Now, turn with me to one more chapter, and that's all I'm going to be sharing. I do want you to read this chapter as a whole on your own time. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. But let's turn with me to 2 Corinthians to chapter 4. And it seems like that Paul was constantly sharing the same information with different churches. Why? They needed to learn. They needed to understand what it is to walk as believers. What it means when we accept Christ as our personal Savior. How do we affect others in our walk? And when we're walking, remember the purpose that God has placed in us. And as we are walking in this purpose, remember that we're treading on land that's going to respond to our steps. I was walking in the store with Coralie the other day, and as we passed, that we were actually in Sugar Creek, and we passed this shelf, and I said, I heard this noise. What was that? I backed up, and sure enough, see, the boards were loose enough that they transferred my weight to the shelf. Not that I was heavy. I just want to state that right now, for the record. But you can see that everything on the shelf was shaking. And all I heard was kinking, kinking. And I'm like, what was that? And I realized, I'm like, okay. So tread lightly. And that's exactly what we need to keep in mind. That as we walk, because we are believers, as we walk, something's going to get rattled. Tread lightly, knowing that there's going to be a response. Expect a response. There should be a response as we walk. Because our impact in the world should affect what is there.
Amen.
Oh, that's good. That wasn't in my notes. So we gotta keep that in mind. That we are going to impact people, but how is it going to be impact? Is it going to be because of the Spirit of God in us, or is it going to be something else? Amen?
Amen.
And so let's look at 2 Corinthians in chapter 4. And like I said, this is the last chapter that I want to share with you this morning. It says, therefore, since we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we do not give up. Huh. Now, I'm reading from, I believe it was a more New International Version. And so bear with me. Normally I read out of King James. And so he says, we have received this mercy, so continue to move forward. Continue. This is coming from Paul. We do not give up. Now, Paul was one that he continuously strived. What's the word of God says? That he was pressing
onward
towards the mark of the high calling of Christ. You see? And so that is exactly how we ought to be. That we're constantly striving forward, not backpedaling. Nowhere in the word of God says that we backpedal. You know, when the devil comes at you like a flood, just backpedal as fast as possible. It's not in there. That page is missing from my Bible. No, but it says that we are not to give up, that we are to move forward. And instead, we have renounced shameful secret things, not walking in deceit or distorting God's message. But in God's sight, we commend ourselves to every person's conscience by an open display of truth. Huh. So, now it gets down to the nitty gritty. He says, now as a believer, you are an open display of what God has done in your life everywhere you go. You are the house with glass windows. That everything is exposed. And so how you respond to opposition, how you respond to when somebody comes against you, how you respond to when someone has lied to you, how you respond to when someone has treated you poorly, how you respond to when someone needs help. You are a glass house. Everyone sees who you are. No pressure, huh? But here's the beauty. You know, there's only pressure when you're trying to hide something. Hello?
Mm-hmm.
There's only pressure when you're trying to keep something hidden so no one else knows your struggles or your things that you like to do. We are on display. You see my struggles, you know that I am human just as you. But because of God's grace. That's how you finish that sentence. You see? You know, and I shared this with you last week. Where someone says, well, I wouldn't go to that church because I know so-and-so, I know so-and-so, and so-and-so. And their past. Exactly. Their past is past. And because of God's grace, their open display of what they used to be, but now they're changed because of the blood of Christ.
Amen.
That's the beauty of it. And so Paul was reminding them, he says, listen, so as you are a believer, your open display, get rid of the junk, because people will see the truth. Get rid of those little things that are in there, because they're going to be on display. So you better take them to the cross and drop them at the foot of Jesus.
Amen.
And leave them.
Amen.
And so he continues on. He says, we're an open display, but we renounce those shameful secret things,
for a second. I got to add this. There are times in which, as believers, we don't want to admit that we have struggles in our lives. We don't want to admit that there's areas in our lives that we really haven't given over to God. And so we constantly kind of hide them underneath and never share with anyone or never even give it over to God. But I want to challenge you. Those areas are those areas that you need to renounce, because those areas are the ones that are affecting your walk with God. Your walk as a testimony, you see. And if we never deal with those areas, then we have a spotted garment. Are you hearing me? You see, because those are the areas that God wants us to focus on so that He can cleanse us, so that we are a spotless bride. Okay? If a bride comes in and she has a stain on her dress and you don't tell her anything about it, and she just kind of ignores it, you know, and pushes that down into the back, it's still going to be there. Sooner or later, people are going to notice, oh, look at that brown stain on the back. They start to clip. And until she takes care of it, she's not the beautiful bride that she ought to be for that day. Because she looks beautiful from the front. And once she turns around, it's nasty. You see what I'm saying? And so we have to do the same thing when the Word of God reminds us we are on display. He says, listen, those stains, those areas in your life, we need to deal with those areas. Because God came to save you from everything. Amen. Don't hold anything back. And that's what He's saying. And so as a believer walking, say, Lord, okay. You know, I now hear me out here, because sometimes there's believers that struggle in certain areas, and I understand that, okay? And they're constantly giving it over to God, and they're still struggling. I'm not talking about those areas. I'm talking about those areas where it's like, oh, I'm not giving this one up. That's what I'm talking about. Because I had a friend that struggled in a certain area, and he was constantly giving it over to God. But, I mean, it was an addiction that he couldn't get rid of. And he was constantly in prayer. That's where he should be. He was constantly in prayer. And when somebody brought it up, he says, oh, I've been praying about this and I've been giving it over. That's exactly what you're supposed to do. And at the end, he got released, you see. See, that's where it's at. But there are those that have deceived themselves, and they have hid those areas and haven't dealt with it. Those are those areas where I believe the Word of God says, depart from me, because I never knew you. Because you kept stuff hidden, and you knew that it was wrong. You kept stuff hidden, so I really, you didn't know me, because if you knew me, you would follow my commandments. If you knew me, you would have turned it over. A little too deep? Okay. But that's not my words. That's in here. You see? And so, let's move on. That was a little extra. And so, he goes on in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And he says, so we commend ourselves to every person's conscience by an open display of truth. But if, in fact, our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Regarding them, the God of this age has blinded the minds of the unbelievers, so that they cannot see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we are not proclaiming ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as your slaves because of Jesus. For God, who said, light shall shine out of darkness, he has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the God's glory in the face of Jesus Christ. Now he's saying, listen, we're on display and we see each other. But if you don't see the truth in us, and we're living the truth, you know what it is? It's the enemy has blinded the eyes of those that don't know the truth. Okay? He says, because we're living the truth. And so we're making sure that we're living the truth. But that wasn't his main focus. His main focus was, listen, you are on display. And so live it. And he goes on in the next verse 7. He says, for now we have this treasure in earthen vessels or in clay jars, so that this power may be from God and not from us. He says, here's the beauty of allowing God's power to be on display, allowing what God has done in our lives to be on display. Because it gives God the glory and not man. Because they'll be like, I knew that guy back in such and such a year. He did this, but man, this guy is different. This guy is changed. This guy, how did he do it? And they start to ask, and they're going to realize that it was not the power of man. It was the power of God. And God's grace is on display in our lives. And so, why should we, when we are on open display to one another, why should we take God's grace and step all over it by allowing hidden sin to be in our hearts? Is that all right? And so he continues on, and he says in verse 8, he says, we're pressured in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despaired, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Why? What is it that made Paul stand firm in his faith? What is it that made Paul stand for what he believed in? Because we can believe in anything, but to believe in Christ, to truly understand what God has done, to truly understand who the person of Christ is, it changed and affected Paul so much that he says, you know what? In the midst of persecution, I know who I believe in. I'm not abandoned. I might feel this pressure. I might feel all this thing that's coming against me, but that's okay because it's the power of God that is able to see me through this. And so he says in that next verse, in verse 10, he says, it is because of Christ. He says in verse 10, he goes on to say, we always carry the death of Jesus in our body so that the life of Jesus may be also revealed in our body. So, I say this. As believers, maybe you're the one that's going to be at the gas station next time. But which side of the gas pump are you going to be on? Are you going to be in the receiving or the giving? Let me break it down for those of you that are a little slow this morning because you haven't had the coffee. Because sometimes I'm not awake fully. So if somebody were to share that with me, I'd be like, what? Here it is. What if you're at a gas pump and somebody speaks a word to you? Maybe you need to receive it. But I also challenge you, you should be the one to give the word as well. We're constantly growing. I haven't arrived. I'm constantly learning. I was with another minister the other day, and that's why I was in Sugar Creek. We were encouraging each other. and our wives was with us, and as we were discussing the Word of God, as we were just being together, we were constantly learning from each other. He's been in our ministry 32 years. I've been in the ministry since I was 19. And I still have yet to scratch the surface of who God is. Because He's too deep. And I have to learn to listen. Because God is constantly teaching us. Constantly pointing out areas in our lives that we might not even consider. You want me to get rid of this? Why? Oh. And it might not even be wrong. But yet, God is after a walk of obedience. Okay? And that's where it's at. Let me give you an example for example. And don't throw stones at me. This is me. I've shared this before. But my obedience is when around October. I don't celebrate Halloween. I don't do anything about Halloween. That's me. I know there's others that do, and I'm not coming against you for that. I'm just saying, God, get them. I mean, no. But the point of the matter is that I've learned, okay, Lord, if you don't want me to do this, I won't. It doesn't say, thou shalt not celebrate Halloween. It doesn't say that. And I have arguments for this. If you want to challenge me, I'll argue. But for the simple fact, this is my conviction. And so in obedience, I have to follow in obedience. Okay? And so sometimes God will challenge you to do things so that you walk in obedience, and God will honor that. And it might not even be anything in the scriptures, per se, as long as it doesn't come against the scriptures. Okay? And as we walk in obedience, we're going to see the fruits of obedience, how God will honor that. And so, sometimes there are hidden things in our lives that God will say, I want you to deal with this area, because this area is a conflict for me in my presence. Are you willing to relinquish, renounce those areas for God to move in a greater manner in your life?
Yes.
That is the challenge, because once again, sometimes we're trespassing on devil's territory without even knowing it. And we have to purposely trespass at times. There's two different things. Sometimes we accidentally trespass, and that's when He has a field day with us. I want you to purposely trespass, where you challenge Him and say, hey, God said for me to do this, and this is where I'm headed. Because the promised land is on the other side. Is that all right?
Amen.
All right, that's all I have for you. That's it. Simple as that. Just two chapters that I'm going to challenge you to read. And challenge you to really meditate on those scriptures, because they are things that we need to keep in mind. That God has placed us here for a purpose. We have been challenged to walk authentically with God, because we are a display of His grace. And if we are a display of His grace, then maybe we need to check and see if there's any cobwebs. Okay? And you can't call Cindy for that one. Check and see. Nobody got that? She's the
mic.
All right. And check for those cobwebs in our lives. And allow God to cleanse those areas. And then see what He will do. As the musicians come forward.